Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Well, it's good to see y'all. The Father's good to us. And we got some good stuff to get into. And the Word's been phenomenal. I was making a little joke with Pastor Josh earlier saying, I don't know, I might be a little rusty. It's been a while. But he reminded me, it's going to flow. And I told him something's going to flow. But the Father's good to us. He's always good to us. And there's some things that I've been looking at, and I got it kind of split up into two parts because we get the privilege of hearing my voice again tomorrow. And the Father is so good. But we're going to go ahead and get through this. And if there's a early dismissal, nobody tell on me. No. But, no, there's been a lot of different things I've been looking at and then just getting in His Word and reflecting on it and seeing how it applies to my life and everybody's life and prayerfully considering all these things. I can't help but say before we dive in, whenever Pastor brought up the whole thing about roller coaster, that was a little funny in the timing, because whenever we went out there to Abram and visit him in New Jersey, well, we made our way to a little, I guess, county fair or whatever it was on a boardwalk, something that you kind of see out of movies. They had the whole works. They had the hammer machine, they had the Ferris wheel, they had everything you can think of, just in this little condensed area. And I can't help but brag a little bit. I've always wanted to do the hammer. And I got it on my third try, perfect score. My wife kind of likes a prize, kind of. I didn't have much to choose from. But what I thought funny about it is the fact that Pastor pointed out just right there in the text that we've been looking at in Exodus chapter 1, that life's full of ups and downs. And we experience those ups and downs throughout each and every day. And of course, Pastor did make mention. He liked to receive the phone calls at a click, click, click. Instead of always getting a we have some little moments, but what I think is really funny about that, what I can relate to that, is Aiden looked at me and he goes, you ride roller coasters? I was like, yeah, it's been a while. And I was, you know, I was thinking about a while. I was a teenager. And I had less on me, too, so got to feel the experience with a little bit more on me. But we get on there, and this is what I think is funny. It's going click, 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 click. That thing's going high. Where you could look around, see everybody and everything in sight. And you build a little anticipation. Then he looks at me, right before it's about to go down, he goes, what did we just get ourselves into? I said, we about to find out. It wasn't a room for me. I was trying to breathe because I thought I was going to pass out and throw up at the same time. But you know what's funny about that is if we can relate to that in the spiritual sense, there's moments in our lives where we literally can say, what did I just get myself into? And you're going to feel that pressure going down. And that thing didn't just go down and up. It went around and spirals and going all which way. And sometimes life can literally be a roller coaster. But I thought it was absolutely hilarious that he had mentioned that. And you get the literal physical experience of that, you know, and then realizing you probably need Dramamine because I was motion sick after that. But tonight, we're going to be getting into probably, honestly, something that's been reviewed. I've been spending a lot of time in Exodus chapter 1. But this ties into what's going to be spoken about tomorrow. Tomorrow's main focus is going to be chapter 1, verse 14, because it mentions brick and mortar. And as bad as I just want to jump on that, there's some things and ground that we have to cover, and it's probably familiar ground. So it's already probably saved in the GPS on this trip that we're about to go on. But we're dealing with names. We're going to start from the top on Exodus chapter 1, verse 1. The main focus tonight is going to be recompense. That's the main focus, to get that full view of what Almighty Yah recompense looks like. And like I said, I'm pretty sure this has been covered. So we can consider it a refreshing and a review. So, but the Father's Word is good, and His Word has been repeated for thousands of years. So I take that as a green light. Let's get into this for the third time. And these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Mizraim with Yaakov, each one with his household. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun, Binyamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Now, I just can't help but point out the fact that they're not in birthing order. So whenever you see something out of the norm, you see something that kind of just pops off the page a little bit, it's to grab our attention because there's a message within their names. And I think it's been interesting enough. My wonderful wife put together, well, her and Sister Randy and others, put together what we have on that display in that wall in there, our names and the meanings behind them. And you know, whenever I review mine, I just continually humble myself and ask the Father, am I living up to this? What areas in my life do I need to live up to it? Which I don't know, I'm sure we all read it, all, everybody's names. But I, you know, interestingly enough, mine really emphasized on leadership and protection and making sure that I'm responsible in my walk for the unity and the bond of brotherhood and sisterhood. And it works me up because I come from a position to where, you know, you don't always see yourself being a person of importance. But the reality is each and every one of us, the fact that we're here, the Father has designated an importance over our lives so that we could walk it out and live up to the name that He's prescribed for us. Because ultimately, we're a part of a body of the head that's the name above all names. We're part of Christ's body. And we got to operate that in that. And I knew there was going to be detours, but I just got to go with them as they come because I'm getting reminded of different things. And it's interestingly enough on the topic of being the body and walking in line with the head. I had a conversation with a gentleman last week. I'm already a week ahead. Yesterday, I had a conversation yesterday with a coworker of mine, and it's been a while since we had a talk of anything of God, Bible related, and anything of that sort. But he had brought it up in regards to something that he was struggling with, because he made a comment that usually when we hear, we're not fond of, especially if you want to walk on that right line, whenever somebody, how can I put this, speaks about self-departure in regards to their life. I'll put it that way. That's the most PG way I can put it. And I instantly clicked and went, yo, don't talk like that. Like, you don't want that. And he was kind of expressing himself, venting himself in the position that he's in. And all I could hear is someone that was crying out for help, even though they were doing it in a mocking way, in a not so serious way, and that it may be better. I said, because he made a comment that he just don't have the strength to do it. I said, brother, it takes more strength to stay in the fight than to decide to just throw the towel in and quit. Because I've been there. People have gotten to that point in their life. But I kept reminding him, it's the importance to realize what was done for us and that the Father is more than able to extend His hand upon our lives if we're willing to receive it and take us out of the mess that we're currently in. And it's the one that we have to rely on is the name above all names. I'm thankful that y'all bear with me because as things come, they just come out. But let's look at that order. Let's look at that order. And like I said, this stuff has probably been covered. And I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but we're going to go through it, refamiliarize ourselves with this. But Reuben, I'm about to go through the names. I'm not going to go into the long, drawn-out explanation of the Strongs. I'm going to give the name with the Strongs and just the straight meaning. Where Reuben, Strongs H7205 means behold a son. Shimon, H8095 means heard. Levi is H3878 and it means joined to. Yehuda is H3063 and it means praised. Yisachar is H3485, means that there is recompense. Zebulun is H2074, means exalted. Benjamin, H1144, son of the right hand. Dan, H1835, means judge. Naphtali, H5321, is wrestling. Gad is H1410, and it means troop. Asher is H836, and it means joyful one, blessed one. So considering all that put together, it renders a message. It literally says, "Behold a son of whom we have heard and have been joined to, in order to give praise to him whom there is recompense. For he is the exalted son of the right hand and is judge who is wrestling for the troop that brings forth joy." And what's incredible about the order of their names is literally a prophetic utterance of the one that ushers in salvation for each and every one of us. All those that have passed, all those that are currently remaining, and all those that are going to be ahead. Because the Father wants to encapsulate the importance of names and the realization that the name of all names comes from these names that were once before us, that are about to experience turmoil, hard labor, all those things that was pointed out. And I can't help but point out the incredible display that Pastor Josh had put on for us whenever he brought in the bricks, had us carrying them along, and just really emphasizing the importance of whenever we're together, when they're numerous, even though we have burdens that are casted upon us, whenever we come together, the load gets lightened much, much more. And all these things and principles, they should constantly be on our minds daily. Because something that the Father was having me meditate on while I was sitting in my dark home all day on my day off, meditating and just and thinking about the different things. And this seems a little out there, but it ties in. As I was reminded, whenever it comes to his recompense, whenever it comes to his promises and the things that are to help us realize we're being restored, we have to be mindful of our speech. And that's just something that the Father reminded me of, is that we could go before him persistently. There's going to be an example of that, of how important it is that daily, no matter what it is we may be struggling with, no matter what it is that we may be pursuing to help our lives get better, that we have to be persistent. But we also have to be mindful of how we conduct ourselves, how we speak about ourselves, how we speak to one another. And then marriage brain kicked in. And then, I felt like there was going to be a little side sermon about that. And I was just like, yeah, we're about to go there, Father. Like, you hit me with that. Because there is a spirit of familiarity that we can have with ourselves, and then we can have with our spouses, because the two are to become one. We become comfortable, and then we think it's okay to be grouchy towards one another. And, and then the finger pointing and all that comes in. But all these things are running through my mind. But the key focus of importance in regards to receiving what it is that he has for us is making sure that, when we pray to him, we're also using the same words of life towards one another around us. And the Father's good. And I can't leave out Yosef. And that's he added. And considering all of what was just recently said, the rendering is literally saying, let him add. And the fact that he added his son to the plan of creation says everything about him being the one that needs to be exalted at the right hand of the Father, so that way we can receive recompense. Because we're also going to look at brief examples that reflect Yeshua's perfect example of dealing with recompense. The AC was working good. Still working, but my internal body temperature is rising. Let's get into this. And I'm more than willing to share the notes after, because this is a lot to try and jot down or memorize. But it'll definitely be helpful. The importance of Jehovah's recompense. God's recompense shows that it is much broader than simply reward or payback. In Scripture, recompense is God's righteous response to human actions. It includes justice for evil, reward for faithfulness, restoration for loss, and vindication for his people. Understanding God's recompense helps us trust his timing instead of seeking revenge or becoming discouraged. And our first breakdown of recompense means God repays according to righteousness. The Hebrew word often translated as recompense is gemul, or gemul, meaning repayment, reward, or dealing according to one's actions. And the Greek ideas include repayment, reward, according to justice. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 35, starting with verse 1. It says, let the wilderness and the dry place be glad for them, and let the desert rejoice and blossom as the rose. It blossoms much and rejoices even with joy and singing. The esteem of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the esteem of Jehovah, the excellency of our Elohim. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the weak knees. Verse 4, say to those with an anxious heart, be strong, do not fear. See, your Elohim comes with vengeance, with the recompense of Elohim. He is coming to save you. And that Gemul, for anyone that may take notes at any point, is H1576. And it mentions that it's treatment, that it is an act of good or of ill. Implications, service or requital. And a lot of these should be familiar. These were definitely already given. But let's look at the ancient Hebrew so that we can get that more in-depth understanding of what it's saying. But the primitive root, yield, is the action. And it says the ripening of a crop or the weaning of a child as one now is able to yield work. Also, the yielding of good or evil as a reward. And you can't help but just even looking at the primitive root before we look at the feminine essence of what's being said. It's literally speaking words of reaping and sowing. Whatever what it is that we put forth, we receive back. And we can't help but also look at the longevity of all of what we looked at in Genesis, especially dealing with Yosef's life and the children of Israel, and all the things that took place in their lives when Yosef was wrongly treated, but then over time exalted at the right hand of Pharaoh. And then looking at all of the brothers' treatment unfolding the judgment, even though it was merciful judgment, before their brother, going back and forth in fear and dealing with the different things that they had put forth. And it reminded me of, I need to be, always continually be responsible to make sure that I'm not giving forth any poor judgment. I mean, even on a simple level, I can always go to work. That's an easy example to always jump into. But there's given opportunities that we can be out of character and not realize that we're setting forth a recompense and we could be on the wrong side of it. And we always continually want to make sure that we're walking in that right direction. So that way, whenever we need saving, we need the recompense of the Father and to just help give us justice in areas of our life that we're struggling, we're in the right position to be able to receive it, but we have to have patience in that process. But that is the feminine. And if you're able to see it, it shows the different Hebrew letterings that line up directly with what's being spoken on with Gimel. And it's yielding the production of a product as a benefit or reward. But notice that God's recompense is connected with salvation for his people and judgment upon their enemies. And there's a principle. God never overlooks righteousness. God never ignores wickedness. His repayment is always just. Well, let's finish out the Isaiah account. It's only 10 verses. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb sing. Because water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water. In the home for jackals, where each lay grass with reeds and rushes. And there shall be a highway and a way and it shall be called the way of set apartness. The unclean does not pass over it, but it is for those who walk the way, and no fowls wander on it. No lion is there, nor any ravenous beast go up on it. It is not found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of Jehovah shall return and enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy. On their heads they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now we're going to look at example number 2 in breaking down recompense. Almighty Yah is the one who repays. One of the greatest themes in Scripture is that we are not called to take ultimate revenge because God has reserved judgment for himself. And these are going to be short verses. So I'm going to try and take my time moving through them so that way I fly through them. But Deuteronomy chapter 32, 35. Says, vengeance is mine and repayment. At the time their foot slips, for near is the day of their calamity, and the matters prepared are hastening to them. I feel like you're going to enjoy this next area of scripture. But this is really, it's really painting a wonderful picture of how important it is to just, we going through it. It could be work pressure. It could be pressure at home. It could be pressure from anywhere. Wherever the pressure is coming from or whoever's giving you the pressure, remember, don't try and lay hands on them unless you're trying to heal them, bring healing to their bodies, because vengeance is his. Well, let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 19 and 20. I really enjoyed going over this. This is something that we have learned, I think, a few years back, but it's something that spiked in my spirit whenever I was going through the studies. And condensed this, because the time that I've been out, have notes, and you know, we could have just been trying to run a marathon through pages, but thankfully we have tools to help us condense studies. But in Romans 12, 19, 20, it says, beloved, do not revenge yourselves, but give place to the wrath, for it has been written, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, says Jehovah. And he was quoting Deuteronomy 32, 35, which we had just went over. But then in verse 20 it says, instead, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Now, I can't help but point out, when I first ever read that, I was like, how is that helping anybody out? That sounds painful. I don't know about y'all, but if anybody came up to you, would you feel better if somebody heaped coals of fire on your head? So there has to be some kind of meaning that it stems from. But I thought this was good to go back over, just in case anyone may have not gotten this part throughout the years. But that is in reference to the coals for warmth interpretation. The popular teaching says that in the ancient Near East, people who had lost their household fire, their warmth in their home, their heater system went out, would carry a container of hot coals in their head, and a neighbor's gift of burning coals would help them relight their fire and survive the cold. According to this view, heaping coals of fire on his head symbolizes a generous act that meets a real need. This interpretation fits well with the surrounding commands to feed and give drink to an enemy and emphasize kindness over retaliation. So I felt like that, being that it's in the coast and clear, I don't ever have to receive any phone calls that Minister Rob said, I can go up to my enemy and dump coals on them. You know, and you want to bring warmth to their cold life. But the only way to bring warmth to anybody's cold life is if you're walking in warmth yourself. So, all ties in. And you know, this subsection in that area, it's labeled Mark of the True Christian. So it's a really good read. I'd recommend going to Romans chapter 12. But if we did a context breakdown, I'd be trying to do a review of the review tomorrow. So. But these applications, whenever it's dealing with vengeance, God's recompense frees us from bitterness, retaliation, anxiety over injustice. Instead, we trust God to judge correctly. Almighty Yah's recompense includes reward. Everybody's always happy to talk about reward. Recompense is not only punishment. God delights in rewarding faithful obedience. Hebrews 11:6. Says, but without belief, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to Elohim has to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. And it's the earnestly ties into the consistency, the persistence. Because as Pastor Nikki says, life be life and, absolutely right. Whenever we're in life, and we need to bring forth that persistence. We need to continually, earnestly seek him. Whether we're going through the click, 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 clicks, or the woo! Oh, it feels good to do that. I see why Pastor likes doing it. But it's through earnestly seeking him. We can't give up. You know, and that's something that's been a comfort. Because I know in here we're going to get to a certain part where I put a little note in brackets talking about finances. Because everybody's got current struggles that they're dealing with, and I'm going to be open and honest. That's my current struggle. And it's real. And temptation's always going to be there. And, you know, when you hear people start talking about, oh, well, the plant's about to rev up, and you can, you know, hop in there, get this, this, that, and that going. And I could go here, there, anywhere, but then my main focus is going to be on the schedule. So I sacrificed a lot in my own personal walk to make sure that I'm at where I'm at now, because the Father saw that effort. He saw us being persistent and earnest and wanting to get out of that bondage that I was in, and rewarded that. But he ain't going to reward bad behavior, because there's two sides of recompense. So there has to be some financial maturity decisions taking place in my life. And what yet better way to learn than to study? Because we got plenty of tools. I mean, you can go to AI and it'll give you a whole list of recommendations of what you can read. Or you just keep racking them credit cards up. I'm speaking to myself. I'm not calling nobody out. Nobody has to raise their hand. But the Father provides a way for those that are wisely, earnestly seeking those ways. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse 6. Remember, this is speaking of reward. This is Yeshua dealing with some self-righteous people that would go out into the streets and make themselves seem holier than thou, just praying long prayers for attention, not actually praying reverential prayers, is the kind of the predecessor to this verse. And this is why he says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, having shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Yeshua repeatedly teaches that God notices generosity, prayer, fasting, faithfulness, and sacrifice. So that's if y'all like recipe books, that's a recipe for reward. Nothing done for God is forgotten. Almighty Yah's recompense restores what was lost. Some cases, recompense means restoration after suffering. Then I shall repay you. Joel chapter 2, verse 25 says, then I shall repay you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, and the consuming locust, and the gnawing locust, my great army which I sent among you. And it's comforting words and a realization that they had once received judgment because they decided not to stay in a position of remembrance of the Father. Kind of like how whenever Pastor had made mention about the name Dan was removed at one point in the book of Revelations. And when we looked at the history of their decisions, they given themselves over to idolatry. Got more focused on whatever they can get their hands on by their own might, by their own will, their own power, to do what it is that they thought they needed to improve their lives. And we're going to see examples of how that doesn't work out. We know that doesn't work out. You know, I always kind of feel silly sometimes because I'm saying things that we all, as adults, truly know. But yet, we need reminding. Because even though we know, we forget. If I'm preaching to anybody, I'm definitely preaching to myself because I'm like, brother, get with the program. And I also wanted to say, that also tied in, because I always get ahead of myself most of the time, that also tied in to what I was referring to whenever it came to finances. A lot of times, a lot of our turmoil is by our own hands. So we can always seek wisdom from the Father, ask for more knowledge and understanding, and the ability to walk rightly. Because he don't want us broke. He don't want us in a tight spot. But he'll allow us to go through certain things so that way we can greater appreciate what it is that he has for us. Another example within that is 1 Peter 5:10. And normally I know I expound on context, but like I said, this is a review. And I don't know why I feel like I have to put a disclaimer, but there it is. So it's short form, short-ish form. It says, and, 1 Peter 5:10, and the Elohim of all favor, who called you to his everlasting esteem by Messiah Yeshua, after you have suffered a while, himself perfect, establish, strengthened, and settle you. And it's a humbling reminder that we have reward. We may suffer a little while, but we have to remain consistent. We have to remain persistent. And we're getting our way to a good example of that. In the little quote I have here, it says, his repayment is often greater than what was lost. So when we're going through the process, and I'm a living testimony of that, because I get choked up here, like an old lawnmower trying to hold back tears sometimes. There was a point where I kind of lost everything, and I've said this time and time again. I was homeless. I didn't have a cell phone. I had a truck, thankfully. Praise Yah. That was a nice mobile home, Chevy Colorado. So it wasn't a big truck. But it was a nice home for whenever the time was needed for it. We lost everything. And it's so good to look back on that, to have that testimony. To go through something like that, but yet still have God, still have the Father. And have a wife that's willing to stick with you through all of it. It's bad, I can tell you. Living out of my truck at Joshua's. Not Pastor Josh, but Joshua's. The boat harbor down there for a little while. I didn't tell anyone anything. And I asked Hillary not to tell nobody nothing. It wasn't pride, it was a little bit of embarrassment and not really knowing everybody yet. And but the Father's good to us. He's good to us. I could go through a long explanation of that, but he completely restored my life. It felt like a world record was set. Gave me a better job, led to another better job, led to another better job, a home. Then to a home that's paid off, vehicles, all within a 5-year time frame. And most of my friends were like, dude, what you got going on? You hit the jackpot? I was like, yeah. I hit the holy jackpot. Oh. But Yehovah's recompense, it brings justice. Throughout Scripture, oppressed people cry out for justice. God promises He hears them. I just want to be a reminder to everyone that whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is, whether it's family related, job related, finances, don't stop praying. Don't stop seeking. And every decision that we make, because we all have some kind of bondage that we're trying to get out of, so we can serve Him the way that we know we want to serve Him. But keep pressing forward. Keep seeking Him and asking Him for advice every day in those decisions. Because He knows our heart. He knows that we have our family in mind. He knows that we feel all this pressure. And sometimes it doesn't feel like He hears us. But He does. Every single time. And I know a lot of times these studies could get deep. Be like, brother, I thought we were in chapter 1 of Exodus. But this is all a reflection of what literally is taking place in their lives. Because even though the means of transportation may not have been a real nice truck or SUV or car, they might have been taking donkeys, oxes, and whatnot, they were feeling every part of it. They were feeling every part of it just in the same way that we feel it. Thank you. And it feels good. You know, once you get past the whole nervous in part, it feels good to be up here just speaking about how good the Father is. But let's look at the key scriptures, because we're looking at recompense brings justice. And Luke 18, we're going to actually go to verse 1. I didn't have it from verse 1 in my notes. I had it just verse 7 and 8. But this deals with a beautiful parable of what persistence looks like that Yeshua gave. And it said, and He spoke a parable to them that they should always pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a certain judge, not fearing Elohim nor regarding man. And a widow was in that city. And she came to Him saying, do right to me on my adversary. And He, the judge, would not for a while. But afterward He said within Himself, even if I do not fear Elohim nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I shall do right to her. Lest by her continual coming, she wears me out. And the master said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. And shall Elohim not do right by all means to His own chosen ones who are crying out day and night to Him and being patient over them? I say to you that He shall do right to them speedily. But when the Son of Adam comes, shall He find the belief on the earth? And I thought that was an incredible example reflecting how the Father's recompense brings justice. He gave straight up a perfect example of a crooked judge, well, a crooked-hearted judge, that even in his wickedness, because of the woman's persistence, he gave in to it. And we serve a Father who is by no means wicked at all, that hears us in our persistence as we're going forth to Him, and He'll continually go before us to make sure that we're in that good position. But it takes that constant, that consistency, that constant want, the constant want to actually communicate with him. It's not that he forgets. Like if we forgot to pray one day and then we pray the next day, and he'd be like, well, you didn't pray yesterday. My bad, I forgot. I strongly believe it's because he's embedding within us, so we remind ourselves what it is that we want, and we watch the process unfold in our lives during his timing. So we're almost getting to the section where it talks about patience. That hits home for me. It hits home so much, I even put a little gold star next to it in my notes. But before we get to that, he hears our cries. And I wanted to make sure we had two scriptural examples that reflect that. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. Like, nobody go telling anybody that I went ahead to chapter 2 without them. It's only a couple of verses. Oh, I can't wait to get the phone call. Oh, but this is the foundational passage. Verse 23 in Exodus 2. It says, and it came to be in the course of those many days that the sovereign of Mishraim died, and the children of Israel groaned because of the slavery. And they cried out, and their cry came up to Elohim because of the slavery. And Elohim heard their groaning, and Elohim remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Yitzhak, with Jacob. And Elohim looked on the children of Israel, and Elohim knew. And the second example is Deuteronomy chapter 26, 6 through 9, which is honestly just a reflection of what we're currently looking at. Because Israel was instructed to remember God's deliverance when bringing first fruits. It says, but the Mishraites did evil to us and afflicted us and imposed hard labor on us. Then we cried out to Jehovah, Elohim of our fathers, and Jehovah heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our toil and our oppression. And Jehovah brought us out of Mishraim with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, with great fear and signs and wonders. And he brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it's important that we notice that pattern. They cried, Jehovah heard, Jehovah saw, and Jehovah delivered. Jehovah's recompense requires patience. I put here, one reason we become discouraged is expecting immediate results. Scripture teaches that recompense often comes in God's appointed time. I mean, could you imagine if we had everything we wanted right on the spot? Like my mom used to tell me, pretty rotten. You'd be spurled. But we have to trust in his timing. And you know, like, on a very serious note, you consider the things with Goshen Len. That's something that we should be practicing with recompense. Because, I mean, in all reality, if we really, and you know, I know sometimes, especially at work, whenever I speak like this, I usually get the, are you a conspiracy theorist? You kind of look a little outside the box. I'm like, I'm really concerned about the box that most of us have been living in. So, yeah, I'm kind of really looking at that box. But the reality is that whenever it comes to bondage, whenever it comes to hardship, yes, we live in a first world country, so we do not have it as hard as some, as if I'd be bold enough to say most of the world. But the reality is we're within a structured system that is corrupted. It's corruptible. And I mean, I believe in, you know, taxes going to the right places whenever it, you know, is supposed to function the way that it does and so on and so forth, but we live in a system that doesn't really honor that because of the corruption. And I mean, anybody wants to cry out injustice whenever they have to pay taxes, I'm sure I could speak to a lot of people, because the more you make, the more they take. But Almost got into a King Saul message right there, but I'm going to avoid that. Let's look at the key scriptures. For the vision, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it speaks of the end and does not lie. If it lingers, wait for it, for it shall certainly come. It shall not delay. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And it says, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Waiting is not the evidence, is not evidence that God has forgotten. Waiting develops faith. And you know, sometimes we feel like we've been in a developing process for long enough. That just means our faith is about to get a lot stronger because patience is on the horizon. You know, I make probably the corniest jokes a lot of the time, but I used to have this corny, yeah, I know, Brother Rob making corny jokes. I should have been a corn farmer. But I remember every time I had a lack of patience, I would tell people, you better be careful. I'm like a closed hospital. I have no patience. So there's y'all dad joke. But thankfully the Father worked that out on me. I'm an open hospital now. Yeshua is the perfect example of trusting God's recompense. Yeshua suffered injustice, yet entrusted himself to the Father. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Who being reviled did not revile in return, suffering did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And whenever I went through this study and putting the notes together, it's always a humbling reminder. And when you think about it, I mean, Yeshua, out of all that have existed, having that power, that authority, the ability to call down a legion, 10,000 angels, 10,000 messengers, the snap of a finger, and just reset, took all of what he took in order for us to have a chance, should be always the number one motivator for us to be patient, to be able to endure the little boo-boos we get throughout the week, the little boo-boo moments that we have. Because honestly, when Paul speaks about what he went through and called that minor afflictions, being shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten, he's like, that's just another day at the office. Imagine when we get to meet Brother Paul. We have some good conversations with him. But because Yeshua trusted the Father's justice, he endured the cross, he was exalted, he received the name above every name. This encourages us to entrust ourselves to God and our Messiah rather than seeking vindication by our own strength. You know, I can't help but think about how much Hollywood tries to drive it home with people, especially with action movies, especially The Punisher. You know, that's the movie that got in my head. You know, dude went through what he went through, and then he became what he was, and took everybody out. You know, was a tough guy, and all that good stuff. You know, trying to indoctrinate people's minds to go out there and handle your business. And we gotta avoid that mentality. We have to, because honestly, imagine whenever the process took place with the children of Israel and the position that they were in. They decided to try and retaliate, and the Father didn't honor that. There'd be a reset, because they wouldn't be in right standing with him. So it's a humbling reminder. I know It's definitely a good humbling reminder. Almighty Yah's recompense is ultimately fulfilled at Yeshua's return. So our final example. The fullest expression of God's recompense is still to come. In Isaiah 40:10 says, "See, the Master Yehovah comes with strength, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him." In Revelation 22:12 says, "And see, I am coming speedily, and my reward is with me to give to each according to his work." So considering the things that are set forth, because we dealt with present matters, there's things that we look forward to as believers. There's a kingdom at hand, there's eternity at hand. But the humbling reminder within that verse of Revelations that we just read, to give to each according to his work. And there's a lot, and I know this is kind of getting a little bit onto the brick and mortar, but there are a lot of people out there that believe it doesn't matter, that works don't matter. We just receive salvation and live on and keep living. But there's work to be done, because we're going to be judged accordingly to that work. But at Yeshua's return, evil will be judged, believers will be rewarded, justice will be fully established, and God's kingdom will be revealed in its fullness. So what we reviewed about Almighty Yah's recompense is justice, trust, reward, restoration, patience, vindication, and eternal hope. Altogether, these passages present Yah's recompense as an expression of his set-apart character because he is perfectly just. He will not allow evil to go unanswered or faithfulness to go unnoticed. His recompense invites us to preserve in obedience, release personal vengeance, trusting his timing, and live with confidence that he will ultimately set all things right through Christ Yeshua. And with that being said, that was the review of a summary is the best way I could put it, because I wanted to condense it down, and it's going to tie into that brick and mortar. Because a lot of times where man has gone wrong, and we see it all throughout Scripture, the roller coaster ride, just like a roller coaster ride, was built by man. And whenever we speak about brick and mortar, there's a congruent theme that takes place spiritually, beginning with Genesis chapter 11, whenever it talks about the Tower of Babel, because it was a construct of man. And that's going to be part of the topic for tomorrow, because I felt like I was about to just go ahead and dive right into that. But the Father's good to us, and that's slightly early dismissal. But with that being said, Shabbat Shalom.